Okay. All right. Well, we'll get started. We're in Revelations chapter number 10. We're going to continue what we've been doing. And I probably if we stay on track and we can get an hour or so teaching in, we'll come try to wind this down by the end of the year. I think we'll be okay if we do that. We just got to make sure we stay on track with this. So by the end of the year, we're looking to finish up this study, okay? So what's the important principles of Revelations? He said you got to do what? Three things is very important you got to do when it comes to Revelations. You got to, I'll help you with the first one. Read it, hear it, and heed it. Very important. You got to read it, which we don't have enough of that happening in the church world today. For whatever reason, I'm not quite sure why. I'm not sure what's the deal with staying away from one of the... The way I look at this is like the final words. Why wouldn't you want to know that? Like if I was getting... If the last time I was going to see my dad, I want to remember his what? Final words. So you got to read it. You got to hear it. You got to heed it. Very important. Very valuable. And so we went through this. And when you do it this way, it's slow. So what's our goal? You take this information, go back and keep studying. This is if you want some stuff for your private devotions when you're at home, take this stuff down. So I'll have some scripture for you. Go back over it. Read it. Go through it. Meditate on it. Pray. Allow the Spirit of God just to begin to just envelop you with the wonderful things of God's Word. And it just becomes real to you. I'm telling you. It doesn't. It's not going to happen. There's no freebies in the kingdom of God. Nobody's just going to all of a sudden get something because they didn't. You got to get down and pray and seek the Lord and be patient and let it develop. And then the revelations can become real to you. If it was easy, everybody would be getting it, but it's not. It's good. You got to devote yourself. You got to be devoted to it. I think about the people like Paul the apostle, how devoted he was. He was into the word and the things of God. He was devoted to it. That's why so many things became real to him. And we're going to talk about him because one of the most important things that became real to Paul is the mystery. And I'm going to talk about that tonight. It's incredible what happened. So go to Revelations 10. We've done three of those verses already. I'll back up, read them again. I won't cover all them verses that we did. So you'll hear it. You'll hear it on like on the last recording or whatever it was. But let me read it through, and then we'll go back and we'll start. I want to focus on really. Really focus on starting with verse 5 is what we want to deal with, but let's read it through. He said, I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like a pillar of fire. And he had in his hand a little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea. His right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. Now that was just already postured and waiting. But nothing could happen until that time. And he's seeing this. Remember what I told you about John? You got to think about this. When you read Revelations, it's like the example I gave you. If you ever been traveling, like we've traveled, we've been in the mountains many times, especially in Nepal. You get on these huge mountains. I remember we went up toward Tibet, China, and we're standing on the edge of this mountain, and I'm looking into China. Now, I'm not in China. I'm in Nepal. But the way you read Revelations, you got to keep in mind, you're going to see things that are near and far. And there's a lot going on all at the same time. So when I looked way to my right, I could see things going on. I seen houses. I could see people walking in these trails. I looked to my left and I could see people doing stuff over there. As far as I could see out there, I could see little houses all up and going into the mountain ranges. It was all going on at the same time. And you got to keep that in mind. Another thing to keep in mind, don't get caught up in the picture. It's written with pictures so it can tell us something, but you got to meditate more on what the picture's telling us, what it's saying to us. And so I want you to keep these things in mind that he's seeing us. So think about this. This is an amazing thing. You think about John and when the things that he got to be involved in when it comes to Revelation. It's incredible. But think about this. Think about this huge angel, this strong angel. He's got 1 foot on the sea and 1 foot on the land. Now, to me, God's telling us something here. I'm in charge. That's what I like. I love it. Let me tell you, and you know me by now, I get kind of caught up in this stuff when I'm talking about it, because it's when I'm reading it and I'm studying, like, and I just stop. And I may take 2-3 days on that. And listen, I'm just getting to 10, and me and Charlotte did this study. It took us 14 hours to go through the study, and we finished, went back over it, and this has been going on for 2.5 years. And I'm just teaching it now. So for 2.5 years, I've been waiting to say what I'm saying right now. You know, God's letting us know, listen, I'm in charge here. Let's not forget it. So I like what God does. He uses a strong angel. So nobody mistakes. He's got 1 foot on the sea, 1 foot in the land. And in this picture, I get this. I'm just seeing this picture. Then he has this little book. And that's what we're going to really focus on. But let me read it through. Okay? How many excited? Getting God good to us? It says, and he has this little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea, his left foot on the land. He cried with a loud voice as a lion roaring. And when he had cried out, the 7 peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the 7 peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. This is John. He says, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the 7 peals of thunder have spoken and do not write them. Just hold up, he says. I'm just letting you know it's there. So everybody knows. Because at this particular, things are not going good in the world. But I just want you to know, I'm in charge. That's what God's saying. And I'm letting you see this. I got it there. It's about to happen. But don't, just hold up. Just hold up. And so, then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven. And that's what I like about it. How many, everybody put your right hand up. This is what we do in court, right? Do you see that? The angel puts his right hand up. This is so incredible. We're talking about God appointed, created, prepared this angel for that day. And this is what I like what he says. He puts his right hand up and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven, the things in it, the earth and the things in it, the sea and the things in it. And there, he said that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, it's not here yet, right? Remember, we got to the 6th trumpet, but it's coming. What's after 6? I mean, when you get to 6, you got to get excited, right? If you're a Christian and you're not jumping for joy and excited about right now that you just got finished with 6, what comes next? The 7th, and I'm just trying to show you that if you think Christians, you know, the angel's got his hand up. Paul is, there'll be no delay, because once this thing, I'll be ready to go. It's incredible. To me, it's incredible. And John was right there. And it was so incredible. He participated in the vision. How incredible is that? And I'm going to show you, I'm talking about it in revelation terms, but I'm going to bring some practicality to this and show you how, in practical terms right now, what's the position the church ought to be in. And I'm convinced, as I look at the church, that nobody's excited about this stuff. We're too busy building things than getting people ready for the most incredible event that's going to happen in their life. That's what the message of the church ought to be. We ought to be getting people ready for that. We talk in terms like we're going to be here for a long, long time, and we ain't got nothing to worry about. And I don't think that's the case. The clock's still spinning. You understand that? They put him in a tomb, and then he rose again. Then he ascended to the Father. He's at his right hand. The clock is spinning. And you remember I said this to you, and I want you to keep track of this. I'll say it over and over so you hear it. It reminds me of the Titanic. That's what was going on in our world today. And the church's position is the ship is sinking, and the band's still playing. If you anybody ever seen that movie, the band's still playing, and what folks want to do today is just say, well, let's move you over and let you sit on this side of the boat. You know, if that church is not your speed, come over here. Listen, it's sinking. The whole thing is sinking, and we better get in the ark, hold on to Christ and what he did for us, or we're in trouble. Amen. We gotta start telling the truth. And telling the stories. And most don't want that because folks are not geared up for that. They're geared up for finding their band playing. Nobody wants to say the boat's sinking. And it's so funny. Me and Shaw was watching that movie a long time ago. 12th anniversary. That's how long ago. 12th anniversary. We in... 12th anniversary. Right now. Yeah, I mean 28 now. So it's been a while. You know what I remember about that movie? The band's playing, the boat's sinking. Yeah. You know, all of a sudden they start sliding, the whole band sliding on the boat. And then I'm like, okay. And I thought about that and I said, Lord, let's get some, I wish we could get some preachers to stand up and say, you know what, church? It's falling apart. Boat's going down. Go and sit over there. You're still going to sink. We need to get some change here. Get the life raft out and get in it. And that's Christ. Got to get in the Word of God. And that's what I think we're getting warned here. The angel's there. This thing's about to happen is what he's saying. So you got to get it right. And this is very important. Very important how it applies to us today. And so as I look at this, it just amazes me. But so we see this. So let me look at verse 7. I'm going to read through 11 and we'll back out. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. How many want to know what that said? The mystery of God is finished. We're going to talk about that. As he preached to his servants, the prophets. So we know where to go, right? If I need to find out what that's about, where do I go? I got to go back into the Word of God, back into the Word of God, and start and read through the prophets because he mentioned it to them and he gave them bits and pieces of it, but it was always a mystery until Paul came along. Are you understanding? There's no mystery anymore. He said, because if they'd have known it, they wouldn't have crucified him. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking with me and saying, go take the book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the land. So here's his participation in the vision. It's incredible. It's incredible. How incredible it must have been for men like John to get caught up in these visions and participate in them. It shows the God that we serve, how incredible He is and what type of relationship He really wants with us. He doesn't want some standoffish relationship where He pats us on the back on Sunday or give us goosebumps and we feel good. He wants a day in, day out, wants to be with you every moment, right there involved in everything. And He wants you involved in what He's doing. And let me tell you, a lot of people got this concept of God like He's not really doing anything. Well, He's doing things. There's things happening. There's things going on. Listen, right now, while we're in this building, He's doing things. The Spirit of God is all over the place, working powerfully in the lives of people. And it's important that we're involved in that. Very important. This is ongoing. This is not something you run out. That's what we do with our vehicles. They put gas in, you run out, you go get more. Church is not that away. It should never be where you go and you run out, you got to go get filled up. I'm going to church, get me something. You know, this is a line that's connected to you. When you come to the Lord, it's connected to you. You connect it. The Spirit is connected. My Spirit and His Spirit, we're connected. It's flowing in. It's always pumping toward me. It's so important to understand it that way. But just coming and going and get something, I can tell you, if I set the church up that way, and if I can show that my gas is cheaper, I'm going to get more folks. If I'm giving pop and candy out with a fill-up, and that's what folks want to do. They want to put a bigger sign, a cheaper price. Because just about anybody in the world today can carry the name Christian on them. It doesn't really cost anything anymore. It's like, you know, it's no cost at all. And I don't know. I must have grew up on the opposite side of the bayou or something. Because when I read this, I don't see that. It costs. It's a cost for it. There ought to be a cost to it. When you look at the price that He paid, it ought to cost us something. And we ought to look at that. It's incredible. Incredible what we see happening here. And so, man, I tell you what, I can't tell you how many times I just wanted to go off on Sunday morning with this. But I've been good. I've been patient to wait for Thursday night. God is good. So he says to take the little book. He tells him, and so he went to the angel telling him to give him me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter. Do you see that? But in your mouth, it will be sweet as honey. We're going to look at that. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And in my mouth was sweet as honey. But when I had eaten it, my stomach was made bitter. And they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And so these are things that I believe that is important. So I'll run through a couple of these slides for you. And then we're going to get to that spot where I want to really talk about, because we covered some of this already. This is an interlude which provides comfort and encouragement after the sixth seal. And in like manner, after the sixth trumpet. Can remember after the sixth seal? You know, that's pretty rough stuff. Remember we talked about it? It's like the guy in the kayak. He gets his kayak out and he puts it out in Red Pass. And it's calm and you got canes on both sides. And, you know, you're just paddling along and it's cool. Everything's cool. But then Red Pass ends and he's in the Gulf of Mexico. And then they got a wave coming. And then a storm comes up. That's how Revelation's written. It kind of starts out and then it gets really rough. And the waves get big. And so there's a lot going on. But we see what God does, then there's this interlude. And the same thing we see, there's an interlude. And then there's something. So that's how incredible God. When I read, I go, that's amazing. God, thank you so much for loving me the way you do.
And the way God so masterfully writes this out, it's just incredible. So I just wanted you to see that. After Revelations 1, we'll go. I'll read some of this stuff, but after viewing the evil from the bottomless pit, the four angels of destruction, which were released from the river Euphrates, we switch focus to gain perspective, because that's a lot. We're talking about these four angels released. And it just opens up, and that's been held there for all that time, and it's released. So there's a switch to gain perspective. Yahweh's great angel, or God's great angel, symbolizes the one who has ultimate authority on the earth. The phrase great angel also occurs 5:2, and I gave you the scripture last time in 18:21. The great angel bears the similarity of God, or the manifestation of God. In Exodus 13, Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night. The rainbow is above God's throne. And you remember I gave you that picture? I showed you the picture. You remember we had the, Newsweek came out with a cover shot of President Obama? I don't know if y'all seen that. And he had a rainbow about his head. And he didn't do that. He had nothing to do with that. That wasn't something that he said, oh, I want that. But it's groups of people who know that that is going to spark a lot of interest in a lot of people. Because let me tell you, media is just there to cause chaos. That's all it is, all propaganda. That's why the church needs to get their news from here. If we don't get our news from here, we're going to get ourselves mixed up in all of that. And that's what happens. And so what it was a gay rights group that done the whole cover shot so they're saying we have our king or our God now endorsing us as a group. So that's why they put that rainbow. So that rainbow was significant. They wouldn't just, why didn't they just put a hat on him? Why put the rainbow? Why take the rainbow? But I read the rainbows above the throne of God, the Almighty God. And so that was their way of saying to the Christian world and everybody else, we're going to do what we want. You do your thing. We're doing ours. We got the power. We got the guy on our side. And that's sad. It's sad, but that's how the... So it's all about dividing. It's all about citing people against people. But if we'll stick to the Word of God and just get in the Word of God, we'll see some things happen. And I'm just so I wanted to just point that out too, and that's why I put that in. Ezekiel chapter number 1, verse 28 says, as the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. And so that was just a verse that I showed you there. You could write that down, go back and look at it. Verse number 2, when we looked at that verse and talked about the little book is never identified. So we read about it, but it's never identified. Right foot on the sea, left foot on the land, probably indicates mastery over both land and sea. Who's in charge? God's in charge. His posture indicates gigantic size, towering above all the affairs of man and the evil influence of the devil. God is in charge. God is in charge. And in the end, he is going, his will is going to be done. How many thank God for that? In the end, I don't care what anybody says. We can put our titles out there. We can be group this, group that. It makes no difference. In the end, God's will gets done. So my job is as a Christian, I'm trying to get in the Word of God and find the will of God. I want to know what it is. I want to be well-versed in what it is. I don't want to get caught. Because let me tell you, this whole news thing and this propaganda and what's going on with Israel, listen, don't pay attention to all that stuff. If you don't know this, you're going to go off of that. That's going to be your guide. That's going to be your Bible. That's going to be what tells you what to do in the morning, how to feel. If you got to have stress, if you're going to be happy, all that comes. You got to let all that go. Listen, this is what I go off of. This tells me what I need, how I need to act. This tells me how I need to, what's my posture as a Christian? I'm out of light. Remember what I shared when we was at the Amish? Are you the light? Are you shining in your community? Are you salt? Because if you're none of those things, then God says, what good is it? We got to do what God's called us to do, and these are important principles. And I believe that God is challenging the church, very much so challenging the church. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in these teachings, write this stuff down. I want you to take the Bible and go back through it and dig into the Word of God. I have been given the task of sharing tonight. That's what my task is. But we're to study the Word together. You got to dig into the Word of God. Find out what it's saying. Take this stuff and go back through it. Listen, what I find one of the most damaging things in the church world, since the early apostles, you don't think that the devil sat back after the apostles have been with all martyred? You think the devil sat back and said, well, I guess the church won. He's been conniving, pulling it over people, inserting little isms all over the place. And for all these, it's been happening. It's still going on. And, we can just sit back and say, well, I'm convinced most stuff that people are believing in the church, they don't even know. If you ask them, who taught you that? Oh, I don't know. I never heard it taught. That's what everybody's doing. Yeah. Who's teach it? If it's real, teach it to me. Let's back out. Teach it to me now if it's real. I don't think people could do it. And that's sad. We ought to be able to open this up and teach every part of this. This is stuff that you can teach. Because it's the same. It never changes. Everything else is going to shift. It's going to fade. There's going to be new fads. Things are going to come and go. But this will never, ever change. It's the God. Listen, it's God's Word. Can He change? No, He can't change. We have the immutable Word of God. It's an anchor. It don't change. And so I think that we have to. It's a travesty that we have so many people in ministry, in churches. You know how many churches? We have so many churches in America. And nobody wants to go back. We're just doing the same thing day in and day out. And the next generation comes in, they doing it. The next thing, nobody's taught anybody anything. And we think this is the posture of the church, though. We say, well, we're so free in America, there's nothing to really teach. Everybody knows everything. You're kidding me. I'm convinced that some of the things I've said already tonight, that the majority of churches have no idea what we're talking about. And you see it all the time. You go in, you see. And, I had a man say he gave a testimony one time. And I wasn't in the ministry. I was just a young boy. We was traveling. And he gave a testimony to his brother. And he told his brother, he said, I've been a member of this church for 30 years, and I've been head of the Sunday school department. And I got saved yesterday. Never once in all those years did anybody tell him how to be born again. Not one time in 30 years. So don't think that just because there's a sign at the front road, there's a marquee, and there's a bunch of cars in the parking lot, that we got all this thing panned out. It's all working good. Don't think that. We got real issues, big issues in America when it comes to the Word of God, big issues. And I remember hearing that, and I was like, "You got to be kidding me! How can you be in a church for 30 years and don't even know how to be born again? How is that possible? Even what are we doing? What is that? Is it a play? Are we playing? And that's what is it? It's somebody did it before them. It passed on to generation after generation, and it kind of gets lost in the overall system of church, and it's going on Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It's going on. It's happening constantly. And we think our job's done. I want to know who's going to raise up in America and say, God, send me. Because we need to be sent to our own nation with a word, and regardless of consequences, because it's not going to be fun. I can promise you that. It won't be fun at all. You will lose friendships. If we start, I remember I sat down with the Amish group, and some of you sat in on that one-on-one meeting. Who sat in on the one-on-one meeting with the Amish group that they came in, and they just needed answers? Y'all sat in. I told them, I got the Bible. I said, you got to take your Bible, open it up to page number one, and start over. And I promise you, if you do it faithfully and allow the Spirit of God to move you and direct you, it's going to be amazing what you'll find. Because he asked me one question. He said, Pastor Jesse, what do we need to do? What is it that you feel like we need to do? Just join our church. That'll fix you right up, man. We're looking to, you know, that's what folks are geared up to do. What you talk? I said, this is what you need right here. You don't need me. You need this, and you need to take it and read it as a whole book. This is a book. And so I told him, I said, if I told you I was going to give you an exam on Abraham Lincoln. And so I gave you Abraham Lincoln's autobiography. I give it to you. But then I said, oh, give me that thing back. And I rip it in half. Then I just give it back to you. And then my first question on the test is in chapter 1. What chance you think you got to passing? He just looking at Amish guys, looking at me, he said, none. I said, exactly right. This is simple stuff. This stuff's not hard. You need the whole Bible. Because I'm about to talk about the mystery that he gave to the prophets. Where were the prophets at? Back in the Old Testament. We have these types of things that are looking like what we need, but they're not real. Everybody say that. They're not. And so we still have some groups today holding to those customs. And let me tell you then, they're still not real. But what's real was on his way. Do y'all get that? What's real was coming. What's real and true was embodied and wrapped up in Christ. That's what's real. But that wasn't real. But we got groups saying, oh, we need to go back and we need to keep that feast. Really? It's not real. It's not real. It's a type. We need to kill a goat. You can kill one, but I'm going to tell you, it's not real. The real showed up. And so that's the stuff that you got to get out there and teach. Amen? How many want that? Amen. Who's the seed sowers? We are. When I say that, remember, because if I don't get a response, I'll preach an extra hour.
We are.
Who's the seed sowers? We are. Well, listen, if we ain't getting it, we're in trouble. Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, and I gave, this is, I didn't read this one last time. I didn't read it all the way through to you, but I want to read this 10 verses, okay? Let's go through that and look at it. Now, we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a messenger or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Why is he giving this information? Because the people are up against it. They're already are folks talking about, well, this is what I think, or that's what, this has already happened. Already. And listen, we're talking about the time of the apostles. Forget the fact we got 1st century, 2nd century, 3rd century. By the 4th century, this stuff's real bad. Remember that. We just got finished doing our study, 500 years of the church. And let me tell you, things are bad. A lot worse than people think. There's nothing talking about, listen, and we don't, well, they don't show that on the news. We don't need the news. Remember that. Remember I told you? Who owns all the news, biggest corporations, biggest news outfits out there? Who owns and runs those? Jews? Who owns all of the sports industries. I don't care which one you name, who runs them. Jews. Do you understand that? They make up a small percent of the population, but run all what you see, propaganda and all that's all run by the Jews. His own people, his own elect, his firstborn, he says. So if you think it's just going to, one day it's just going to all fix itself, don't, and it's not going to be told. So, and this has been going on. So what we have to do, we have to raise up people who's going to get out there and speak this truth and not be afraid, because it's going to be different. I can assure you, it's going to be different. It's going to be different in a lot of ways. It's going to challenge my beliefs and your beliefs. We're going to be challenged to the core. And we got to say, Lord, whatever your word declares is what it declares. And this is what he's telling them already. Already. So what did the devil do? When Satan, because remember, he's there, he is, and God says to Adam, he says, listen, I want you to go, and you got charge. It's all yours. Everything you see, I'm giving it to you. You're in charge, and I want you to subdue it, to conquer it. When you ask this question, because you get that when you study that word, conquer what? See, God knew. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. It's not right now, but it's coming. And so here he comes and says, well, you know, the way I see it, you can eat from that because you'll be as God. So they, instead of him conquering and saying, hey, listen, let me just tell you something. I got dominion over all the beasts. Your beast, get over there with the other beast. Keep your mouth shut. Did he have power to do that? Absolutely. But instead, he got into a conversation. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. And I think the world is in a conversation. That's what's going on. We're conversating instead of teaching the Bible. People's conversating. You come to church and the pastor gets up. He's dressed down. Got his shirt in his blue jeans so his belt buckle can show. Anyway, and he's conversating with people, and it's just a conversation, and their folks are leaving and says, oh, we love him. It's just, we get so much out of him. And so if you go there and you say, hey, what about that big angel with one foot on the sea and one foot, what's that? Where that's at? What movie is that? That's a movie? Transformers. That's Transformers. Conversating gets you in trouble. Adam should have said, listen, you get on the other side over there. Now, that doesn't mean he wouldn't have come back, because he's persistent. He'd have come back. But what he had to do every time? You get over there. I read one time he came to Jesus three times. And he said, listen, buddy, it's written. I'm not changing what's written for you, for me, or anybody else. It's written. I'm going with what's written. I want to ask you today, who's going to go with what's written? Amen. Are you sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
You got? Are you sure we're going to go with what's written?
Yeah.
Because if we go with what's written, we're going to have to make some serious, serious, serious changes in our whole approach when it comes to God and what we do as Christians when it comes to spreading the seed. It's not the pastor, man. He needs to come up with some solution. You know, we need more people in church. Spread seed. Go wherever you go. I don't care where you go. Just spread seed. So I'm waiting, boy. Pastor's telling me, I'm waiting, man. If we can get it, we're going to find a nice location. You know what they're looking for? Good ground. We're looking for good ground. I'm serious. I thought we was just sow seed. We sow seed. That's what we do. And sometimes it's going to fall by the wayside. But I know if I just sow enough seed, just keep sowing seed, keep sowing seed, it's going to fall on good ground. It's going to. You understand? And that's the whole point. We're not doing it. We're looking. We're picking and choosing. We're trying to find the right spot. And then all of a sudden, it appears to be right. Because guess what happens when that appears to be right? Everybody's going to copy that. And let me tell you how they copy it. They make that guy $1 million in his book sale because he's going to write a book on how he started that church, and every person's going to buy it instead of going right here. And God says, listen, where I want you to be is in Middlebury, Indiana. That's where I want you. There ain't no books to be sold. I just want you to go there. How many ready for that? Where I want you is on that peninsula in Beerus. You stay. How many ready for that? Where I want you is you go here, you go there, you go there. And that's all God's asking for. If we can get that right, let me tell you, this is so important. I know sometimes, I just want you to know, what I'm sharing with you, I would share, it doesn't matter where I would be, what venue it would be, but most of what, a lot of what I'm saying, the leaders need to hear this. They really do, because we need to get a little wake-up call. We're missing this thing. And we need to wake up and realize that we can't just get up and go to church and just turn the lights on because we got to build and put music on and have our little get-together and go home and everything's sweet. And we'll go, you know, oh, we had a church family visit this week. You know, things just looking up. What about just, you know, you teaching people? And then you need to do that. Your voice is very important. You got to get out there and do the same thing. And this is very important. They were already up against it. There was already stuff. In the time of the apostles, it was already started. Because that's what, listen, in the beginning, no sin. And Satan shows up and is attacking. Already attacking. Already doing that. And the same things happen to the female, which is the church. The church is the female part. And we need to be in a position that we do what God wants us to do. Because if we already know the head conquered. Did he conquer? Absolutely he conquered. So now it's turned over to us. And we got to make sure that we are following through what the leader did. He led, he showed, he gave us the way, the truth, the life. He showed us that, so we have to follow that. So when you get some time, finish reading Thessalonians, because we won't get to the rest of this. Verse number 3 of the Revelations 10, he cried with a loud voice, as with the previous great angel in 5:2. You remember we talked about that previous great angel in Revelations 5:2? If you look at that, so he cried with a loud voice. So this is to be heard. This is not something that's quietly done. So he knows that that has happened. And then the 7 peals of thunder and 4 are not for us to know now. If we, because he'd let him write it and then deliver the message. Did he let him deliver the message? No. He stopped him. It's coming. In verse 7, we are told the mystery of God is finished. The mystery of God is finished. So God reveals to us this information which had been hidden in the past. It was hidden before, but he reveals it. And so this is some of the points that I'm getting close to, and I'll give you the verses, and we're going to actually go read those. And I want to really talk about this. In verse 6, he said he is solemnly swearing that the event of which he speaks will take place. He got his right hand up. And now you got to understand that whole, this is a gigantic angel, right hand up. It just, to me, it's so calming. And you need that calm amidst this stuff going on. You got to have, and even in our world today, there's times you got to have a interlude, as it were, a calming where you know. And that's what happens when you're praying. You go and pray. Anybody's ever had this happen to you? There's stuff going on. You got a lot on your plate. You got a lot going on. But when you go and pray, it's like, you know, the Spirit of God just gives you that calm. And it's that inner, and you got to have that from time to time. That's why I see it in Revelations. It talks about the prayers of the saints. And I like reading that because it encourages me when I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord and I'm having my conversation with God. He's hearing me. He's got those things. He's got us. And he mentions it in Revelations. The prayers of the saints. You got to go read that stuff. That was early on when we were talking. But this is encouraging to me. It encourages, makes you want to keep praying and seeking the Lord because God's listening. He's listening. He's keeping those things. And he said, to count it. Think about that. All the stuff going on in these revelations. And to put that, to count that. Anybody want to pray? I do. Folks going around saying, well, you know, I try to pray. I don't know. Me and Brother Marcel was talking about it. It just don't make sense. Not for a believer. I try to read every now and then. Really? It doesn't make sense to me. But I do tell you this. I remember a time I was just like that. I just couldn't, you know. The reason is my focus and I had no learning in that area whatsoever. My wisdom was zero in that area. None. Revelation in that area, zero. Didn't even know about it. But when I got a hold to it, you know, it's just who you are. It's a part of you. It's part, and that's what has to, and that's the thing. So what you're having to do is keep up with everybody who is that way. You have to keep up with all those things that's going to go wrong. Because when I was doing that, I had a lot of stuff going wrong all the time. But you don't have to have that when you just tell people, listen, you got to get in the Word. You got to start seeking the Lord. And that's the things that I think is so important for us to see that. Certainly, we see that in here. So let's look at the seventh verse again. We'll read the seventh verse of 10, and then we'll talk about this. The seventh verse, critical. He said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished, as he had preached to his servants, the prophets. The prophets, the Old Testament, information was a mystery. Paul made the mystery plain for how many to see? For all to see. So look at Romans 16. And you'll hear these verses. They'll be familiar to you. If you've done anything, any study at all on the mystery and what Paul's ministry was so amazing. He had an incredible ministry. You'll see that these verses, when I give you these verses of scripture, and you'll say, oh yeah, I remember that one. Oh yeah, I read that one. Very important that way. So Romans 16, we'll see something here I think is going to help us. Verse 25, now to him, Romans 16, verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past. What was it kept? Secret. But now, let me see that. But now is manifested, and how is it manifest? And by the scriptures of the who? Did we throw that stuff away? No, listen. If you're reading something, and you listen, here's the part that I can't understand. I'm reading something. So, oh, yeah. Well, let me go see what so-and-so said about that. The way I don't want to know what so-and-so said. And that doesn't mean so-and-so can't give me good information. But before I read so-and-so, I want to go back to the prophets, the men of God, the one that stuck it out. Some of them lost their life. I want to go back and see what they said. And then when I read so-and-so and he's online with that, then I say, thanks, brother. I missed that little angle there, but thank you. Because God's going to, listen, he'll use all of us to help each other see something that we won't see clearly. But we got to be careful that we're not taking so-and-so in advance to knowing what the prophet said. Very important because we can miss that. And we don't want to get trapped by those things. And I'm going to tell you, it happens all the time. All the time. And so these are important principles, I believe, in studying that we should look at. So he said that by the scripture, that's what is so important, of the prophets, according to the commandments of who? The eternal God. They didn't just dig this stuff out the ground. They wrote what God told them. So when you go and look back to the prophets, it's not their words. It's God's words through the prophet. Does that make sense to everybody? And I think we have to see that. So when you go in there, you're going to look. You're not just drawing that revelation, bringing it over and putting it together with what Paul's saying. You're not doing that just because that was a great man. We're talking about God, the Almighty, spoke those words to the prophet. He took the pen, wrote it down, and we go back. And all they had, again, and Paul said, I'm not saying anything different. But what they had was hidden is now manifested. But was it different? No. It wasn't different. They had all those indications. Those indicators were all there. And we go back and you can line it up. Everything was there. But it wasn't real. Remember that? Remember the tabernacle? How many remember the tabernacle? First one erected. That's a type of what's to come, what's real. Real comes. You see every little piece in there. And we don't have time to go over it, but go back and do that study. You'll see every little piece was all positioned, had to be in their spots. But it's a type. It's not real. But we got folks that want to put that stuff up. You see, that's the kind of stuff you got to go back and say, listen here, time out. Let's sit down. Let's look at this. And we have to look at it carefully. Look at the Word of God, because there's something coming that's real and true. And that's what he was telling them. It's coming. How many believe that the Jews knew the Messiah was coming? You better believe they did. They studied the Lord. They knew it. They seen the prophets. They knew he was coming. So there was no surprise when the Messiah showed up. No surprise whatsoever. They knew it. But they couldn't receive him. Because they'd already they had made it out that we don't mind him coming, but we got to have him fit this little category right here. If we made a square, if he comes round, we ain't getting him, we ain't taking him, because we got a square and he's got to fit in that square. And Jesus shows up round, they go, what do we do with this? You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what happened. What do we do with this? It don't fit in our. We already preconceived everything. It's already done, and we got a problem there. And that happens all throughout Scripture, even in our society today. In church, people's got a square, and the Word comes to them in a round ball, and they go, huh? That don't fit in our little thing. I'm convinced we got to crush all our preconceived ideas and notions, destroy them, and put our faith in this book. And cry and weep over and say, God, I need a revelation from you. That's so important. My is so important. I can't tell you how important that is. And we need it. We need it more than we ever had before. And so you see these things. And you say, man, you could read Revelations, get all that stuff. Yeah. All those things are very important. He said, blessed is the one who reads it, who hears it, and who heeds it. And we get that all out of Revelations. You see that. That's why I can't understand. Listen, let me tell you how critical this is. I was raised in church. My parents went to church. I was a little boy. I was 4 months old. So all I knew was church. And I become a teenager and a grown man married in church before God called me into ministry. I can't tell you a single time that I was taught Revelations all them years in church. Not one time. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that's an issue? That can create so many issues. And let me tell you, I feel like now, as in a ministry, I felt like, as I look back at it, it was like because people just was afraid of it or something. I don't know what it was. I heard messages on hell, in heaven, and pick one. You need to pick tonight, too, or we ain't leaving. But if you asked me any details about any one of them, I would have been lost. I was like, well, I don't know, I don't know. You understand my point I'm getting at? We got to change that. So wherever you go, whatever you do, even if you're sitting with your family, be a student of the Word. We don't get saved just to be safe. Be a student of the Word. Get in the Scripture. Study the Bible out. Listen, I always tell people, take your truth against my error. I don't know everything. But we ought to be able to sit down and talk about it. And we ought to be able to, we ought to have dialogue about it and see, are we getting this thing right? Are we missing this? And I just feel, I can't tell you how I've been feeling lately. I said, God, this is so important. You remember, this is one of the things, and I shared this with Brother Marcel earlier. The Lord gave a prophecy to us. I'm serious about when God sends anybody, I don't care who it is. It doesn't make a difference. I'm not trying to say, well, if so-and-so gives me this prophecy, I'm going to run with that one because he's a man of God. Listen, if it comes to me and I can't deny the fact that somehow, I don't know how he got it, I know one thing, God's trying to get a message to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pay attention to that message.
Yeah.
And one thing I was told in that prophecy, he said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. And I know for a fact that up to the point of 2.5 years ago, I had not looked into the glory of God like I needed to. Now, I could teach you on the glory of Moses and all that stuff, but I'm not, listen, this is so far past what Moses hoped for the day of the glory we're talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're talking about so far past that. It was just a type of what we got the real. Does that make sense to everybody? The real. And you got to look into that. And you got to look into it. Look into it, he says. Look into it. I know you know. I know you think you can preach, but look into it. I know you've been. Look into it. And that's what I've been doing. And let me tell you, the more you look into the glory, you'll find out you don't know a whole lot. It challenges everything. You're not just I'm going to just say it like that because that's how I see it. No, you look at every word. You're looking at every part of that scripture, and you're looking at it, and you're looking at it, and you're crying over it, and you're saying, God, there's something here that I'm missing. And there's no way. Why would I even attempt to get up there? That's why it took me 2.5 years before I'm teaching Revelation 10. Because why would I do it and miss something? And listen, I'm not going to get it all. But God knows my heart that I diligently search it out because there's a message that God's trying to give to us that we got to get ready. We got to prepare ourselves. And it's all, we see this in the scripture. So many times we see it. And this is so important. So he says to him here, but now is manifested and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. Listen, Paul, in all the situations he was in, he was a man that sought what God wanted. That's why he had so many revelations given to him and also was sent to the Gentiles, because the Jews, even though all these things they saw as types, their whole mindset was us, not them. Even Jesus shows up and their whole mindset's us. He showed up to change the us thing in them. You got to change that part of you. Because the Gentile was going to be brought in. How incredible that is. Only God. Only God. It's incredible what God. Look at 1 Corinthians. We're running out of time here. 1 Corinthians. Chapter number 2. And I want to cover these. So I'm going to go a little faster here. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. This one's very important. He said in verse 1, he said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. How incredible that is. Did he know other things? Oh, yeah, he knew a lot of things. He knew a lot of things. He was an educated man. But he said, I know nothing except. I'm convinced we got to get to that point as believers. That, listen, here is the deal. I know I got a job. And everybody work, you know, you work, whatever it is. But my mission is the gospel. That's my mission. That's what I'm geared up to do. This is who I am. When you do that, it's incredible. You'll see, it's amazing what will happen in your relationship to God. Because remember, your relationship to God through Christ, you can't have one other than that. Through him, that relationship But it's not just, okay, he introduces you to God, but you got to build on that from a revelation standpoint. You build on that constantly. You don't just say, I'm saved. Yeah, but tell me about the mystery. What mystery? See, you could be born again, but not understand it fully. So when you go to deliver it, you don't even know what to say. We have so many people like that. We have too much illiteracy when it comes to teaching the gospel and preaching and proclaiming this. But people, they just say, I'm saved. I'm saved. And that's great. So we all start there, but we have to be taught. And so we can go out and proclaim the gospel, speak that. And this is what Paul did it, and he did it well. It was incredible how God used him in proclaiming this. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So he wasn't just speaking. There was things when he was saying things, but things were happening. People, listen, if I'm demonstrating something to you, you're going to see what I'm doing. I'm demonstrating. You know, I'm demonstrating the basket. Okay, this is a basket. Do you understand? This is a basket. I ain't demonstrating nothing. You're going to go, what does he mean? Is he crazy? And that's what people, they want to speak the word. Nothing happens. There's no events. There's no testimony. But they're saying, but there's no demonstration. Listen, this is a basket. I'm showing you it's a basket. You can see it. You can relate to it. It's tangible. You see that guy was sick and now he's healed. Do you see what I'm saying? It's a demonstration. And that's what Paul said. But folks are saying, well, you know, we believe in healing. No demonstration. None whatsoever. Not even seeking that. And that's the thing that's, remember that Amish trip? Right? Sister Yella Mae gets attacked. Heart racing. Sweating. Pain. Almost, you know, we're thinking, hey, we're in the woods here. So they come get me. She's sitting on the thing. She's flush. She said, Pastor, I'm in pain. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Hey, I'm not a doctor. I don't have no ambulance. But I know somebody. I said, I said, Sister Yella Mae, I'll do whatever you want, but I'm going to pray for you right now because we don't need this. What we need is a miracle. And we're going to ask God. He said, I can ask him. That's what he told me. And I'm his son. I said, Father, right now, this is your servant. We're up here to do ministry. You called us to do it. We're here. This right here will change a lot what you called us to do. Thank you for a miracle, Lord. 5 minutes later, she was out serving with everybody else. So we get in the tent, right? I said, anybody got anything to say? See, we need a testimony. So we in a group of people, we need a testimony. What she said? She said, I just want to thank God because a few minutes ago, I was having all these pains. And I'm just there listening. She said, but we prayed and God touched me. Somebody got to show the basket. Do you understand? We needed that. That's, we can talk about it. We believe in healing. Yeah. Anything like that. You know, it just amazes me that we could talk about all these things. It's like, it's just people. I know a lot of word of faith people. I'm convinced they have their own definition of faith. Because it's nothing that matches what I read here. It's faith. I have faith. You go do it. I'm with you, brother. What they ought to say is I'm behind you, way behind you. Get all the financing done. Do all the groundwork. I got faith. I'll come in here and help you. It's not what God's talking about. What about they? Nothing. We got nothing, God. They said, well, what about faith? How does faith operate? So I told Amish, I said, how it operates? He said, well, how you start? I said, well, we started by faith. He said, that's why y'all faith temple. I said, well, I guess, faith temple. It's a great name. Anyway, he said, well, how does that faith operate? I said, well, the way it operates, I said, you know, the Lord dealt with us about a building. And I knew we had to build that building. I just knew. I seen it in a dream. I said, not Deloitte. He said, I noticed you, Deloitte give you a dream and you just go. I said, yeah. He said, he gave me a dream to go to California. He gave me a dream to do it. I seen colors and everything. We do it exactly how. It's like a snapshot. I ain't getting off of that. If it, I don't care if you like the. I told our church, you don't like the colors, tell God. He don't care what you think. That's what I saw. We using them. I don't care if they match or anything. That's what we're doing. We ain't got a color committee. You know? We don't make committees for colors. We're doing what God said. I mean, they're sitting there. You was there. They're sitting there. Listen, I said, so the Lord deals with us? I go to my wife and say, how much money we got? She said, we got $30,000. I said, that's good. So I called the guy up. I said, how much would it take me to build that slab for that building? So I called Sprint. They sent me a drawing. I said, we'll do it for 30. I said, good. Come do it. So we put a slab down. This slab that I'm standing on. We got no building, no money, but we got a round slab. Glory to God. You know? And in the Amish says, he says, man, wow. And I said, he said, well, what you went off? I said, well, I read in the Word, it says, from the day that you've laid a foundation, from that day have I blessed you. I said, that's good enough for me. And I said, so what I did for 1 year, no more money. No bank's going to touch us. I walked on this building, on that little truck. They got a 12-inch drip edge. I walked on there. Many nights, I'd get up, and I'd walk. I'd round and round. I'd say, God, I'm just so blessed. I'm so thankful. You're so amazing. I said, I get to be in the beginnings of what you want. And I'm so glad to be here. I make no demands on you, but teach me to be patient because I know it's coming. Amen. I see it. And I did it night after night, many nights. And I'll never forget, one Saturday, I was out walking my usual walk. I'm walking and I'm just praying in the Spirit, just thanking God. Dark, hear the crickets. And I'm like, man, if somebody's over that levity looking at that preacher, he is absolutely crazy. You know, they might be, that's why they ain't coming. Lord, you ain't coming to our church. You know, he's been walking on that slab for a year. And I said, you know, but I wonder what people thought. They poured a slab. What they're doing with it. So Saturday evening, for Sunday, he said, have church on the slab. So I come, our guys say, hey, we're having church on the slab. We pull all, we drug all them chairs out of that building. We drug all the music out, the sound system, everything. And we set it up like we had a top over us. And prayed for no rain. And we had church out in the open. Y'all remember that? And let me tell you, that was the coolest service we've ever been in. Everybody had their sunglasses on, saying, amen, brother. Woo-hoo! So I'm telling my story to the Amish, right? And I said, and then all of a sudden, the phone rang. Within a week or two, I was in Pastor Brogdon's in Alabama. The bank said, hey, that guy that gave you all that hassle, put you out of the office. I've been put out of banks, just let y'all know. I've been put out of banks. He said, he's no longer with us. Your paperwork's already in place. All you got to do is come get your money. Come get $200,000. Do what y'all need to do. No guarantors. We don't need all your men to come up and give their house up. Because I told them I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't put our guys under that pressure. Well, we operate with guarantors. All right. I'm just going with God on this one. Just going with God. And they're listening to me. And I said, I went with God in everything we did. And I got everything we needed. And we seen God. Take faith. You got to trust God. Trust what you read and then live that stuff out. Don't just tell people about it. Live it out. And I said, that's what you need to do. I said, so you're a little small. You got this little thing going. But that's great. It's great. It might just be a little seed, but it's going to be great. That's what you got to see. It's going to be great. It might be the littlest seed, but when it grows, it's going to be great. And I said, that's what you got to go with. And so I know it encouraged them because they're just a little group of five families. I said, but it's going to be great. Get ready.
But faith, faith, you got to trust God. And that's what's important. Amen? Well, I kind of told so many stories. I run myself clean out of time. But I left that screen up there. Who wrote all those verses down? Ephesians. How incredible that is. You got to go read Ephesians 1, 9 and 11. 3 and 1 through 6. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. The mystery is no longer a mystery. Do y'all get that? It's not a mystery anymore. Folks still today think it's some mystery. It's not a mystery. It's revealed to us. It's revealed to us by His Spirit. It's incredible what we have. He said, eye hath not seen, ear had not heard. You know how many times I was listening to preachers before. One of these days, I sure hope we get to see it. You're sitting in church and He leaves you with like you're hanging on a limb. You're just hanging there and say, we're going to hang on one of these days. We're going to get to see. Please, I'll never forget when. Could somebody read the next verse? Just the one. It's just right underneath the other one. But God hath revealed it. I couldn't get that. I just couldn't get that. I was like, you got to be kidding me. But that's the things I'm talking about. That's those things that are locked into the church, that's keeping the church where the evangelism, as it should be, with as many people as we count as Christians in America, we ought to be doing some serious inroading, but because we're crippled by those little things like that. That's why we got to go back. If we can do that one and a bunch of other ones, how many do we have that we're crippling ourselves and we think we're doing ourselves a service? I'm convinced there's a bunch of things. I've seen it, especially growing up in church. We've seen it time and time again. You know, you have people that's in so much bondage. You're in church and got all kind of bondage. No, there's no freedom in Christ at all. It's constant bondage to the church, bondage to the laws of man, bondage to tradition. And we deal with that. And I said, look, and the Lord allowed me. I feel honored. I'm deeply honored that I even get to step in. I'm trying to feel like John. I'm getting to participate in the vision. I'm a participant in the vision. I want to go. And you know what I'm doing? I'm going to get the little book. But the book is bitter and sweet. And you said something. It was dead on. Nobody really knows about. You know, you say, I want to be a pastor. You have no idea. You get in that office, you'll find out quick, too. It'll wake you up in a heartbeat because there's a bittersweet. But do we teach them? We get them trained. It's all about the sweet. All about the sweet. You go out, it's all about the sweet. But when it's sweet to the first, but then it gets bitter to the stomach. And I think about all those guys. Think about Moses. He knew about bittersweet. Oh, yes, he did. He loved the people so much, though. He said, God, you can take my name out. Because you love people. And you care about them. And then the bitter happens. Some of me and Charlotte, the closest people we worked with, day in, day out, toiled over them, trained them. You hit the bitter, hit you. And we had to learn. We had to go in the Word of God and learn that we can't be offended by the bitter. You know, you like Elijah, he got offended by the bitter. I'm killing. You can go and kill me, God. I'm done. He said, well, I don't care if you're done or not. I got some more guys just like you. I got them reserved. You get out this cave. You go do what I told you to do. Jonah, you can throw me in the sea. Get a big fish to come gobble me up. I'm done. He said, I don't care if you think you're done. I'll let him eat you and then spit you back up. You go do what I told you to do. See, God, you don't play with God. You know, when I get in my little, I'm going to sit on the levee. I am going to just look at the river. I ain't doing. I'm tired of fooling with people. God says, listen, you finish? The river's still going that way. Now get up and you go do what I told you to do and you do what I. Boy. Bittersweet. Same thing in Revelations. It's a bittersweet. It's sweet Because the seventh trumpet is about to sound. But it's a bitter. And when you get into ministry, you got to be ready for that. You ever had some bittersweets, brother? It's what it is. You remember Ezekiel's account? When he told him to eat, he said, take the scroll. It's almost sort of like that same account. You can go and read Ezekiel chapter 2. You'll see that. You'll see that happen. But Ezekiel's account, the same thing. It's a bittersweet. But we have to be prepared for that. So you're going to have that happen in your own relationships. Some people get, you know, they'll say something. You don't get on Facebook and, you know, and I'll send that out. You don't do that kind of stuff. That's not how you do it. You know, he says, I'm dying. Guess what? He puts a plant over him. I'm going to put a plant. Maybe the plant grows over him and he got something to eat. And he said, go do what I told you to do. And that's what has to happen in our lives. Listen, it's going to be bittersweet in ministry. And this is something that the Lord dealt with me. And I was putting this stuff together and talking about it. Me and Charlotte talked about it many times. And I know the Lord's preparing a time for leaders. But the Lord said, I'm giving you this because I want you to share this to leaders. I want them to know that there is bittersweet in ministry. But he shows it. Now, when I seen that, the Lord just, I got it to show the practical side of how it affects us today. And God showed that this is going to be a bittersweet moment. But it's all in the end. It all works out. So I appreciate you for being attentive tonight. And I went over my time a little bit. And the recorders, it's tough for them because they can record that for me. But I just want you to see this. And this scripture for you, you got to go and read these. Colossians 1:26. Go into that second chapter. Don't worry because the chapter ends. Please don't read that away. Keep going. Chapter ends. I don't want to read chapter 2. It don't end. All right? Cool. And so many people, I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, so you read second chapter? Uh-uh. I was just looking in the first chapter. But keep reading. I mean, I stopped at verse 2, but verse 3 is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And then there's another mystery will be understood when Christ returns, which records in 1 Corinthians. The perishable is going to take on imperishable. Is that incredible? The mortal is going to take in immortality. He said it's a mystery, but it's going to be incredible. So the ones who have perished, they're going to be people who die. They're going to be take on imperishable. Then there's mortals, that's life. We're mortal, but they'll take on immortality. It's incredible. So keep reading this stuff. Keep studying it. We're going to go into the 11th chapter next time we're here. And it's going to be talking about the two witnesses. And don't ask me who they are. And don't ask me where Enoch's at. None of that stuff. All right? I'm going to show you what the message is all about that. Two witnesses. 11th chapter, incredible. And I want to get, I'm trying to jog through this because I want to blow the seventh trumpet, right? So we've been through 6 and we're getting there. So thank you so much. We're going to keep our study in Revelations going. We're going to learn some things about God, and I look forward to doing some more studies with you. Don't forget Sunday morning, come believing, expecting God to do incredible things in your life. Tell your neighbor, tell your friends, we're going to go to church and receive the word of God. Bring them. We're going to get the word of God. Amen. So I love you. I thank God for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for everyone that's here. Thank you for our time together. I thank you, Lord, that you give us opportunities to come and just share with one another. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as we go out and we go about our everyday lives and doing the things that we do in our jobs, everything that we got going on, Lord, let us never forget our mission is to spread the seed of the word. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be seed sowers out there and share the wonderful, incredible, amazing good news that you've given to us. Such amazing hope
And we just thank you for that. So I just pray, Lord, as we have gathered tonight, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for being the revealer of your word and sharing with us, Lord. And we just give you all the glory and the praise. You deserve it all. And I just pray your strength be on each person that's here as we go out, Lord, and back to our homes, Lord. You just be a protection to us, watch over us. And we just thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for every person on this peninsula. We call them out, Lord, no matter what they're involved in, no matter what's their situation, Lord, we call them forth, Lord, that the seed will be sown in their lives, and Lord, it'll be bring forth fruit in them. We just thank you for it, Lord. We give you the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much.